This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam. In this series, we're looking at what Allah and His Messenger, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, have described or identified as being among the best deeds, days, occasions, etc. And we will begin with the days in this session, in continuation from our previous episode. In terms of the best day, single day, we know that day is Friday. Why? Because Abu Huraira narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, "Afdalul ayyam inda Allah yawmul jum'ah." The day which Allah considers best is Friday, the day of congregation. That is the day of our weekly congregational prayer. As a single day, that is the best day. What that stresses to us, of course, is that all of the different things which are connected to that day should be done. We should strive to fulfill whatever is required of us or encouraged from us on that day. Among them is the reading of Surah Al-Kahf. Since that is the best day, and the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, recommended that we read Surah Al-Kahf on that day, we should try to do that as regularly as possible. It's also the day in which we should take a bath. We should clean ourselves up. You know, depending, people in different circumstances may have limited opportunities to bathe, but at least on that Friday, we should do so. That is the day when we're coming together in congregational prayer of the region or the area, in the largest mosques, etc. You know, that day at least, we should try to be at our best. In terms of days in Hajj, Abdullah ibn Qurt quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, "Inna a'zama al-ayyami 'inda Allahi tabaraka wa ta'ala yawm an-nahr thumma yawm al-qarr." The days which Allah the Blessed and High considers greatest are the days of sacrifice, then the rest of days following it. So in the Hajj, and this is really a day of mostly for the people of Hajj, even those at home who don't have the opportunity to make Hajj are encouraged to slaughter an animal on that 3 days following it. Those days are in the Hajj, the high point where the pilgrims follow the practice of Prophet Abraham and sacrifice at that point. They sacrifice giving thanks to Allah, because even when we sacrifice at home, having not gone for Hajj, we sacrifice at home, we should know that it is a symbol of thanksgiving, that Allah has blessed us, and what He has blessed us with, we share with our family, with our neighbors, our friends, etc. We slaughter an animal and share it with the community. So, on that day in particular, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah is among the greatest days of the year. So, having looked at our days, we're moving on to another topic, the topic of debts. And we're following alphabetical order, you know, of topics. From an English perspective, anyway, we're on the letter D. We had days, now we're on to debts. So in terms of debts, what is best concerning debts? Abu Huraira quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, "Inna khiyarakum ahsanukum qada'an." The best of you is the one who is best in repaying his debts, his or her debts. This is emphasizing the importance of the repayment of debts. In our life, we end up in debt at some point or another. And for society to function well, these debts need to be paid. If they're not paid, then people's rights are being denied, people are being abused, their wealth is being appropriated by others. This is a negative, a harmful circumstance. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ warned about debts, saying, in another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, the believer's soul is kept in suspension until his debts or her debts are paid for them. So this is telling us it's something very serious. Even entrance into paradise, the Prophet ﷺ had spoken that even the martyr who dies in battle is given his soul, given his life for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah. And that death removes sins. It is a means of purification of oneself from sin, except debts. That's what the Prophet ﷺ had said. So debts are not to be taken lightly. We should avoid them as much as possible. We should strive to avoid going into debt, taking loans. This is a very important piece of advice from the Prophet ﷺ, because today there are so many traps to draw people into debt. The credit card, the famous credit card. The credit card, which seems to be such a big convenience, so beneficial to us, at the same time, it traps so many people in debt. Because you can buy with money you don't have. This temptation to go and buy and to live beyond your means is great, it's huge. So it is a trap, a credit trap. You're trapped into debt. And when we look at the world's nation, we can see the same thing happening on a global scale, where the powerful and the rich first world nations, they trap third world nations in massive debts, which they can't pay off. And in that way, they recolonize them. This is the form of neocolonialism of our times. It's economic colonization. The people are no longer there. In the past, they would just come in, take over our countries, and set themselves up as the rulers. They don't need to do that today. Instead, what they do is they offer the current rulers massive projects, beautiful, wonderful-looking projects, which will make the ruler powerful or make the ruler liked globally, fame. They've done this massive economic project in the country, but the cost is so high, the country can't pay it back. They end up struggling even to pay the interest on the loan. So they become more and more submerged in that debt, riba, because that's what's connected to it. Riba overcomes them, and their economic system now comes under the control of the global international monetary fund and the World Bank, which now dictates to those countries what they can do and what they can't do. Their economics are controlled from the outside because of debt, world debt. This is the evil of it. So it is much better for a person to live within their limits. Purchase what you can, and what you can't, do without. Better to live a life like that than to live a life in debt. In America, way back in the early 90s, they estimated that more than 4 million Americans were living in the streets. I know a lot of people think, no, not possible. America? No, people live good lives. There's all these high-rises and wonderful Disney, you know, all these wonderful, beautiful places. Surely they don't have people living in the streets. That's India. Yes, yes, India, we have people living in the streets. But America? No way. Not possible. Reality, more than 4 million. In 1993, the number is way more than that now. Living and dying in the streets of America. And when you go to look at these people, some of them are people who were in good jobs, etc., but they had lived so high. Their debts had become so much that one little thing happened to them. They got sick. They couldn't go to work anymore. They couldn't pay the payments. And their house of cards just crumbled. And they ended up kicked out of their homes, cars taken away, homeless in the streets. Many cases like that. Many of those, a good portion of those who are living homeless in America are a result of debt. So debt is not something to scoff at. It's not something to look at as lightly. It's something very serious. So serious that the Prophet ﷺ had said, for the believer, his or her soul will be in suspension until debts are paid. And even the martyr will not enter paradise. He will be held back from entering paradise because of debts. So something we need to consider seriously, and we need to reflect on. And with that, we're going to take a brief break here now from the issues concerning debts, and we'll be moving on into other issues after the break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. In Bukhari, there is a narration by Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood over one of the high buildings of Medina and then said to the people, do you see what I see? They said, no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I see afflictions falling among your houses as raindrops fall. That's how the parenting challenges of today sound like. It's a daunting task with lifestyle changes and more demands on the parents. Maintaining a balance between parenting job and other chores is very stressful. There is a plethora of duties with very little time devoted to parenting. Multitude of studies indicate that kids are involved in undesirable activities because there is failure to impart moral values to them. What to pre-plan to bring back balance in life and strengthen the family structure? We need focused, step-by-step guidelines to make sure that our kids grow into determined and not easily distractible Muslim Ummah. So me, Dr. Kamal Kesar, bring you this amazing course, A Visionary Child, a future investment for all the parents who can change the world, benefit the society, and be on the path of Jannah. This course is designed to bring clarity in the parenting practices so that parents understand the age-appropriate behavior of their child. And yes, using principles from Quran and Sunnah, develop a multi-dimensional tarbiyah plan for the child. Remember, vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. So don't miss this opportunity to overcome all the roadblocks that you have while you're trying to fulfill your responsibility as mentioned in Surah Tahrim, verse number 6. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, save yourself and your families from the hellfire.
Welcome back, dear viewers. We'll now continue with the best in Islam. We looked at the best concerning debts in our previous segment of our episode. And now we're moving on to what are the best deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 46, he said there, Al-malu wal-banun, zinatul hayatid dunya, wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun, inda rabbik, thawaban, wa khayrun amala. Wealth and children are this life's adornments, but good deeds that last have a better reward in the sight of your Lord, a better source of hope. That for us, wealth and children, this becomes the most important thing in this life. Accumulating wealth for ourselves and having kids. You can look back and say how many kids we had and how our kids were and what happened with the kids and so on and so. But what is really best for us are the lasting good deeds. And of course, the lasting good deeds are those that were done with the good intentions, not those deeds done for show in order to impress others. So people would say, what a great, what an amazing, what a. No. The impact of those deeds, maybe nobody knows who did them, who caused them. That's not important. It is the benefit that has come from it. This is why the Prophet ﷺ had said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are most beneficial to people. So those good deeds which benefit others and continue to benefit generation after generation, those are the better deeds. Those are the best of deeds that we should strive to have as many of them as possible. And of course, these are deeds in which we have sought the pleasure of Allah. Deeds whose value will continue on into the next life. So it is better in the sight of Allah in terms of the reward that He's going to give. And it's a better source of hope, something that we could hope for a good end. Hope for a good life to come. It's a basis for hope. As for our wealth we leave behind us. We cannot hope and expect anything to come out of that wealth. Of course, people have been fooled by this. Whether it was the pharaohs of the past thinking that wealth would give them a superior life after death. So they had themselves, their bodies mummified, gold, jewelry, and all these kinds of things were buried along with them. But we know the mummies are now in museums and their wealth has been stolen, distributed, put up for show. It didn't benefit them. But they believe that. And you have people till today who are still caught up in that syndrome, thinking that the wealth is going to somehow benefit them in the time to come. But the reality is that, of course, it is what we have to leave behind us. We leave this. We come into this world with nothing. And we leave this world with nothing. We cannot take any of the things of this world with us. The only thing that we take with us are our deeds, what we have done. So whatever is left behind, if it is an extension of our good deeds, then it benefits us. If it is not, then it is of no benefit. So the idea that wealth is going to change anything for the good in the life to come is a delusion. Of course, the rich would like to think that it could. And even at one point in time, for a number of years, the popes used to sell certificates to paradise. They were called papal indulgences, where the rich would buy from the pope. The pope would prepare a certificate which would say, the bearer of this certificate has a place in paradise. It would be signed by the pope, who was God's representative on the earth, and the rich who bought it would feel comfortable that they had a place in paradise, and the pope would become rich and richer. So yes, that delusion has fooled people in the past, and it will continue to fool people into the future. But the reality is that wealth and children are amongst the ornaments of this life, as Allah said. You know, we feel good about them, we feel pleasure from them, but in the end, it is the lasting righteous deeds. Al-baqiyatu salihat. These are those that will benefit us in the life to come. We also have a statement concerning good deeds in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 184, where Allah said there, فَمَن تَطَوَّعْ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. Whoever does good voluntarily, it is better for him or her. Voluntary good deeds. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, encouraged us. In all of the deeds of Islam, they are voluntary. The obligatory deeds, there are voluntary deeds connected to them. Each and every last one of them. Whether it is salah, we have voluntary prayer. It is fasting, we have voluntary fasting. It is zakah, obligatory charity, there is voluntary charity. Hajj, there is voluntary hajj. All of the obligatory acts that are required of us have voluntary versions. And the obligatory is to encourage us to be engaged in the voluntary. That's the purpose of it. To encourage us to engage in the voluntary acts. So those voluntary acts, ultimately, after a person has done the obligatory, it will elevate them in faith, it will purify them, or the obligatory deeds that they've done, for any deficiencies that might be in them. So we should never treat the voluntary deeds lightly. We should try to do them as much as possible. Because after our obligatory deeds are judged by Allah, then He will shift to the voluntary to see what has been done to add to our obligatory deeds. And we also have another verse which has been repeated twice in the Quran, in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, verse 89, and Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 84. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْهَا. Whoever does a good deed will have better than its worth. This is from the mercy of Allah. That whatever good we do, instead of counting it as just one good act with one good reward, against any evil we do, one bad act, one evil or punishment, one for one, Allah multiplies the good. Each good deed is worth 10 times its value, straight off the top. And that can be increased many times above that, as Allah wishes. So that good deeds, as Allah said in the Quran also, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds, righteous deeds, erase evil deeds because their value is 10 times and more than the deed itself, and whereas the evil deed is only valued at one. So the good can erase the evil. So this is the grace and mercy of Allah, which allows our good to erase our evil, so that in the end, our state will be one pleasing to Allah, in which we will be able to enter paradise, God willing, because of the righteous efforts we have done based on our faith with the grace of God. And with that, dear viewers, we will conclude our session and continue to look at deeds, as there are a number of other points concerning deeds which have elements of the best. Allah has spoken about them. The Prophet has spoken about them. Deeds are a big part of our life. We're doing deeds all the time. So what are the best among them? We will continue to look in this area. in our coming episodes. So thank you for being with us in this episode of The Best in Islam, and we will see you in the episodes to come. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.